Today we are going to talk about artificial intelligence within big corporates and how to deploy it. What are solutions? What are current challenges that we need to overcome? My guest for that is Santiago, and Santiago is the consulting director for AI and big data at Teradata. He started out his career like 10 years ago within data warehousing when he was one of the first tech talents at Groupon, then started his own company, worked at Axel Springer, and right now at Teradata, where he is transforming massive data, petabytes of big corporates, into the digital strategy and transformation for them. So I hope you enjoy that episode.
You pretty much started like over 10 years ago then in the data warehouse business, right?
Yeah, awesome. More or less.
So now you end up in Teradata where you really talk about petabytes, right?
And yeah.
Massive data.
It's actually, I would say that when I started working at Teradata, I actually could see the data maintenance that we have at our customers are very massive and very different, and the complexity is another level. So working with the startups, you can be very agile. Is that something that is very cool? You can bring teams together. But if you are in a big enterprise right now, we're talking a lot about digitalization and everything. So building up or organizing a data science project could be a challenge, and we see lots of patterns when they are successful, when they are actually kind of struggling, or what are actually the key factors to make them successful. So I think that as well, it's very interesting to make the difference as well between Germany and other European countries. Mm-hmm. We've seen as well way more advanced use cases in the Nordics, or even as well in Spain. In Germany, it's kind of like going better and faster right now. So I'm actually pretty excited for the next projects that we are actually as well running and our customers.
Okay. So, I mean, you are in the field also of digital transformation, and, you know, there are some scary figures actually, you know? Mm-hmm. So on the one hand side, 80% of data-driven companies outperform their peers. On mm-hmm. the other side, 75% fail in becoming a data-driven company. So what do you see for challenges when it comes to data science, you know, which is the massive leverage of becoming a data-driven company? What are, from your perspective, the major challenges that, especially those companies that just start to transform digitally, are facing?
I think that there are different kind of maturity levels even before they want to start with data science.
Yeah.
Within normal analytics, sometimes there are problems that they just need to have proper analytics, you know, like not really something complicated. I think that something that we need to be aware of is to define what is AI. I think that this term has become kind of like more like a marketing label, and we really need to make sure that people understand what are the first steps and actually what are long hanging fruits that they can achieve. Mm-hmm. So something that's very important, and I think that many times when I see that projects are failing is because they are technology driven. So there's not really a business case behind it. So people are kind of like, I want to use deep learning, I want to use neural networks. Neural networks are the answer for everything. Not tell me what's the question.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And if you can know, if we are talking about like very big companies, neural networks can be very expensive. Exactly. If you have like massive data and you want to train them, it can be very complex, very expensive to maintain afterwards, you know, if you are going from a proof of concept to industrialization. So I think that there are many topics. If you start with a business case, it's the number one. So you are really know what you need to achieve. Number two as well, you don't need to go to AI, deep learning in your first step. So yes. Start small, start with machine learning, probably like not even machine learning, probably with some affinity analysis or whatever.
Sure.
You can already show something to management, get them excited, and they are going to as well found you ideas way more. But if you start with the most complicated stuff, probably it's going to be harder. Something as well that is very interesting is about like the team building. I've seen as well in my experience that corporates within their digital strategy are bringing a lot of data scientists, but yeah. There's kind of like the expectation is that they are going to come up with some results that are going to be sustainable. So I think that right now the industry is understanding that we need way more data scientists to make data science projects successful. So we need to understand what data science cycle, life cycle is. So model life cycle, data products life cycle, so software development. So I think that that's something that is coming to us right now. And understanding this, you're going to realize that you need a team with several kind of like hard skills. And that's very positive because people are going to feel involved within data science process. Right now, one of the biggest mistakes is that you have big enterprises and people who have been working there for several years are feeling that they have nothing to do with the guys who are doing the cool stuff, you know? Yes. But they see that actually they're bringing the whole revenue. So it's kind of like the case that you see in the biggest enterprises, but I think it's going to change. It's kind of like the situation reminds me a lot to 2011, for example. You remember that when mobile development came, so you had always the rock stars, the guys who were developing apps, It was kind of the skills that only those guys had, and no one even knew that. And even people that, you know, online marketing was well pretty new, so you were not hiring people with 5-10 years experience of online marketing. You hire people who actually had an idea how to do that. And after the years, if you see right now, most of the teams developing apps, you have a product manager who actually has knowledge about it, about like how you develop apps. You have as well a marketing guy who knows as well how to set up campaigns, to understand as well what is web analytics, understand about tracking pixels and everything. So this is going to happen as well with data science. Data science, everyone is going to find a place to develop this kind of software. So I think that understanding that and finding that is going to be the next step. So would be as well something that, that I see. And I think as well something interesting is, especially for big corporates, what should I do myself? What should I buy? Yes. I think that then you have the question, if I buy products, actually products that are going to improve my performance in different business process, do you want to know what's happening behind the doors? Or you just want to get an answer. Probably you're going to get an answer is good, but you're going to have, and this has a lot of benefits, or you want to do it by yourself, which as well has well lots of benefits, but lots of challenges. I think they are probably kind of like the most important things that we've seen that actually corporates and small companies where are kind of like struggling as well to get to the process.
Yeah. Okay. Let me summarize that. So first of all, from your point of view, corporates should define a business problem and not just starting with deep learning or something more advanced stuff. They should maybe start with regression analysis or, I don't know, factor analysis or something like that, you know, to get a feeling for what is possible. How do I communicate actually data science results and so on?
Exactly. I would say to give you a more concrete example, just going for financial industry. If you think, for example, about fraud, fraud is very, very complicated. It's actually kind of like the use cases where you really need to think about it. Fraud is very hard, not only because you have fraudsters as well, and those people. Mm-hmm. Those people are as well thinking how to trick the system. So you have as well intelligent software, intelligent people doing the same on the other side.
Yes, yes.
So it's actually very challenging. And in that case, I remember as well, we had a project where we actually tried to start, the bank was doing more a lot, doing very good actually, with rule engines and everything, and just trying to see, okay, how we can improve what we are doing. So you know that they are actually losing a lot of money, like millions of euros as well, when they actually are victims of fraud. But they had as well problems within the company. They have as well investigators. The investigators were kind of like analyzing transactions around like 2,000 to 3,000 transactions per day. And you know, and if you see fraud is something that doesn't really happen pretty often. So it's something that you have really, really big data, but probably the real cases are going to be very, very, very limited. So it doesn't matter how much data do you have. You really need to figure out what's going to be smart. Mm-hmm. And the problem was that always if you started to use machine learning for example, you already improved what the rule engines were doing. So you were actually speaking the same language that the people already were speaking, but you were saying, okay, guys, you know, you were actually looking at these 2,000, 3,000 transactions. We were going to try to improve that in a specific percent. And actually with machine learning, you could do that, but still it was very high because, you know, you have a lot of false positives. So you had more people who actually were suspicious than actually you knew that were fraudsters. And that was the reason as well when we saw, for example, as well, the opportunity of machine learning, oh, sorry, of deep learning, because we thought we need to figure out and find a way how to actually cut this amount of false positives even more. And we actually cut it in half using deep learning. And there were many factors that we used to do that. So it was as well kind of challenging because you have no more linear relationships when you're trying to do that. So we were building kind of like image out for transactions. And that was the kind of things where you actually can prove actually step by step when are you using the technology. And we just don't went there and said, okay, your rule engine has been working good. Let's try deep learning right now. So step by step, you can do, you can educate the people. The people are going to understand that actually you are going to augment intelligence. You're not going to get the jobs out of them. So you're going to include them because you need them. You need this knowledge.
Okay. And the second point that you mentioned was basically the team setting, right? And I have also an opinion on that. And that is basically, I have always a feeling that our perception of data science is way too much like a perception of software engineering. You know, like, it is kind of tricky within such a qualitative process, you know, identifying the right model, engineering the features, trying out a lot of different features, what works, what not, and so on. You know, you have a lot of variables that are unknown, where you don't know how much time it takes, you don't know 100% how much resources you should allocate, and then you throw your Scrum and your Agile on it, you know what I mean? And your project in the end might be late or is engineered into a wrong direction by that. So what I'm always saying is, hey, start to think about it like a design process, you know? So you have like a lot of literature on design sprints, for example. Did you hear ever about it? So, you know, you start out the whole process. So what is our business goal? How should it look like? You mock it up, how it should look like in an end version, in a deployed version, you know? And so for everybody who is participating in those workshops, which is like a manager, a product manager, a software engineer, an ML engineer, hopefully, a data scientist, and so on, you know? And everybody who participates generates a holistic view on where do we actually want to end? And does what we just paint here on the wall make sense, you know? So are we going into the right direction with that? And that is basically the way like a designer works, like a business builder works, and so on. And I kind of miss that process right now in the data science industry. Or what do you think?
I think you are actually right, because when you were actually defining the whole process, you took as well a lot of different skills. And that's different kind of people actually collaborating and following the same goal. And within data science projects, sometimes the goal is not very clear. And you said as well something very, very, very important. And you said as well, you are defining or you are actually drawing mockups and you already know what you want to have deployed. And the problem within data science projects is that this view of deployment is not really transparent enough. So everyone is kind of like working on data sets that are just kind of like tests. So testing, building models, bringing some kind of results, but not really planning or having an idea of the consequences that this model is going to bring as well to the whole IT infrastructure. And not having as well kind of like in a strategy how it's actually the business is going to change about it. And when I'm talking about the business, I'm not just going to talk about like the uplift that probably your business case is saying or kind kind of you're saying, okay, I'm going to have more revenue in this percent or something like that. But you need to think as well that you are going to disrupt some business processes.
Yes.
And that's something that many projects doesn't have. So you see many labs or innovation labs that they have a lot of beautiful models, but none of them are bringing business value. So, and everyone is wondering, okay, what should we do to do that? So, very interesting is right now that what I see is that everyone is talking about data science going live, being deployed.
Yeah.
The question is always, what is the meaning of being live? Yeah. What is the meaning of industrialized data science? Yeah. Or data products, what I used to call it, because you have data products sometimes with a lot of models. Yeah. And everyone has his own or her own definition, in my experience right now. So yes, it's actually kind definitely. Of like we as an industry, we need to change that because there's no standard for that. And I've seen as well data products that are actually live. Yeah, but when you go deeper and start asking what is actually the considerations that you have taken, you always hear like, you have like a team probably from 10 people when one of the engineers is downloading a CSV file and deleting rows manually.
Yeah.
And the other guy is probably, if you need to send a PDF with the results, the other guy is kind of like checking that and kind of like, and kind of like doing a lot of manual work and having as well models that are training and probably you are not having kind of like a proper strategy how that needs to work. So what I want to say with that is that pretty much in our perception, what they are doing is just babysitting a model.
Yeah.
So babysitting a data product, that's not what is the meaning of being in production. You need probably to go back to software engineering. Very classical. At the end of the day, data science and data science models are not nothing more than software that we need to put into production. So when we talk about like industrialization, we talk a lot about governance, we talk about monitoring, and something that's very important as well, automation. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the first question that I ask when we talk about industrialization is, do enterprises understand the data science lifecycle?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what is the data science lifecycle?
What is it?
So for example, if you have like a data scientist working or a team, normally when you are doing something, just imagine that you have a use case. Just imagine we talk about this fraud case. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We already have a model that we say is in production. Why is it in production? Because it's already bringing me some kind of output. Now I'm working with that. I'm an investigator and I'm realizing, or the data scientist is realizing, that the model is not performing anymore. Yeah. So what I need to do is to be able, as a data scientist, to create a new version.
Yeah.
I create a new version that is under our governance, so everyone knows that I'm doing this. And when everyone is doing this, you probably need to register this model. So, and you need to, every people you need as well, you're going to have another question as well, for example, approvals. I've never heard from data science teams who need to approve a model, for example. You create a new version, you challenge the new, for example, the models that are in production, and it needs to be transparent to everyone that you are creating a model that it's better. And this whole process needs to happen automatically. So you are not just exploring data, so you are actually comparing the models, let's say, live, and you need to actually define this, architect this, this process. You, of course, need to make decisions. You need to say, okay, I created a model. My model is right now registered. This is a challenger. And if you challenge the model that is actually in production, are you going to win or not? If you win, this is a champion. So what happened with the other model is going to rejection. So let's think in that kind of way. So you are right now the champion, and after you were the champion, you are deployed or whatever. So you are already going to start generating a lot of metadata. So you can start to manage a process as well of data science. And I believe that today we are not in that... we're not so far to talk about that. So the experience that I'm telling you is actually we're already doing a couple of times as well, sometimes some years ago. But still it's a kind of like the kind of conversation where we really need to understand what is the meaning of being in production. And very important as well is that within this process, as I said already, comes as well one question. Who needs to approve a model going into production? Yeah, and there are two kinds of approval in my perspective. Of course, every industry can think or every company can think differently. There is a technical view, for example, the data scientists who understand as well the model parameters and understand as well if a model is good. Mm-hmm. But for example, if I am deploying a model that is part of a business process, as we were talking about, you know, and if I change this model, now coming back to another use case, for example, in retail, if we take, for example, a system, this system has the goal to, if you know in a store, for example, you have in the store, you sell products, but you need to buy as well products that you want to sell. Mm-hmm. So you have as well system that are actually responsible to make these orders. And you need an algorithm, or you want to have an algorithm that actually is going to manage the demand. It's going to calculate the demand and it's going to order how much you need to have in the store. So to make this decision, if you want to change a model, that is life actually, and a business process is dependent of it, it's going to cost a lot of money if you actually do it wrong. So the business people, the store manager, need to be the guy who actually says, yeah, I want to deploy that model.
And the store manager might not understand.
Or someone from, exactly. And that's the way that you need to actually present those results in a way that store manager or people as well from business understand. Because at the end of the day, what they see is how much revenue they are doing. And they are just going to leverage your algorithm to say, okay, if I change this model, I can do more revenue. And they are going to be following up that, yeah? And they're going to trust your model only if they can achieve that. And that's something that I think that is kind of the complicated part. What we see right now, what we see in different companies is just like kind of like the data science team is saying, okay, that's good. We have our control, you know, our control stores or whatever, our control data set. And we have as well our predictions and we are doing very fine. But at the end of the day, the people who is going to be approving models being changed or new models coming to the business are going to be the domain experts, because they are the guys who are responsible at the end of the day how the business is going to perform.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I made also a similar experience like you. I had a presentation at the AI in Action meetup some mm-hmm. months ago, and I did like a live poll. And, you know, in the audience, there are all data scientists, software engineers, and mm-hmm. so on. And the question was, what is currently your biggest challenge, you know, in data science? And I gave them the answer possibilities of the data science process, you know, problem understanding, data gathering, building a model, deploying it, manage it. And 53% of all participants voted for deployment. And there are also some other studies that exactly say that deployment of a data science solution is one of the biggest barrier for the whole data science project mm-hmm. and what they do. But I mean, there is already software out there, right? I mean, open mm-hmm. source and also not open source. I mean, I know a lot of data engineers, I would call them, use SageMaker. Mm-hmm. There is the possibility to use a H2O AI. Do you know those?
Yeah, sure.
Also those solutions. I guess another one, software, more SaaS solutions like Data IQ or something like that. What do you think? Why? I mean, even so, we have software out there that might solve that problem, even popular frameworks, you know. Mm. Why do we have still that problem then?
I think that so thing number one, we need to understand tools are tools. Yeah?
Yeah.
And technology has proven that technology is like fashion. Yeah. It's like changing all the time and you always want to have the new thing, but you don't even know if that's actually something that you're actually going to need in the next year or whatever. So technology is changing a lot. And I think that if you are developing systems, you know, you need to do it in a way that you are actually open for change. So you are not going to be architecting things as a final step, or kind of like you're not going to be architecting a goal. You're going to be architecting to be open to change. That's the mm-hmm. thing. I think that the first thing that I want to say. I think as well that it's very important that within the data science life cycle that we were talking about, and as well putting things in production, it's never been about technology. You can use whatever you want. The problem that I see is more within the business processes,
okay.
because we are talking about like disrupting business processes. I would believe as well that this is not really a problem within startups. that startups can get this better, because as I said, technology is just technology and you can just define the architecture, but there is as well kind of like in the industry, you know, that architecture actually reflects the company communication.
Yeah.
And if you see, for example, we talk about digitalization in a country like Germany, where we actually expect these big corporates to change. These communication streams are very complicated, and architecture is very, very complicated, and as well how people interact with each other is very, very, it's very difficult to put in a way that actually you're going to disrupt that. So I think that my answer is pretty much more, you don't need to care about the technology. So you're just going to take what is going to be is going to fit to your problem. Really important is as well that you think about reusing things. So what we've seen as well a lot within many companies is that different data science teams are kind of like working in different projects, but when they are already thinking and going into production, they are kind of like all of them trying to do the same thing. So they are not building capability within the strategy. So you realize that there is no a data strategy where you are building a data product because you're following a business case, but you have control of the capability that you're creating so that other teams can actually just get that. So that's as well another problem. But the most important, I think, is people, is kind of like just getting these business processes in a way that you can accept that.
Yeah. Do you see some analogy from other industries, how other industries solved, you know, such a communication problem? Because I see that problem as well, that kind of communication problem especially. Mm. I would like to solve it, of course, in a product way. Mm. But so far, it feels like it's most of the time a consulting job, right? You need an external expert who did that several times and consults those companies on, hey, you are missing, here's a link. You should communicate more, you know. That is not a report. A report should, you know, have those and those KPIs in it to communicate better to the management and so on. What do you think? Will it be always a consulting job of some external experts to improve those processes, or might be there a solution that you could imagine?
I think it's a mix, because when you are, for example, working in a company a couple of years, you have best idea of your business than everyone else, you know, that you can come from outside and everything. But if you have been there for 10 years, you know everything and you know the processes way more than everyone. Mm-hmm. But on the other side, and that's as well very true, consultants actually have a great benefit, and it is that they see a lot, you know, and especially if you are working in a European environment or a global environment, you know that the markets are very different. So if we are talking, for example, about like industrializing analytics, it's not the same talking about Germany and talking about, like, for example, Denmark or Sweden or Norway. So they already done that in financial sector way more. Probably they are way more active with that. So we've done as well stuff in Spain, where we saw that after creating the capability of the industrializing analytics, after 2-3 months, they deployed, I think, 200-300 models, because it's just a capability.
Okay.
And I think that this is going to be very, very interesting in the next 2-3 years as well, when big corporates start doing this. So the production, the consumption of data science is going to be bigger and bigger and bigger. And of course, you get this only if you get as well external knowledge, because if you are just trying to learn, of what I saw as well a lot, or I see as well a lot, is that we need to make sure that we learn. We always want to learn a lot by ourselves. You know, we don't want to be told what to do, but we need to know where do we need to learn. So learning in the important fields, and not, for example, in things that are pretty old already. Remember as well, we had a very funny case. Hadoop was everyone wanted to have a data lake 3 years ago or something like that, 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And now no one want to do it with Hadoop. Everyone want to do it in the cloud with probably object storage or whatever. And the really funny thing is this, is that, for example, at that point of time, it was not as well, it was not very clear if the technology is going to stay, but still everyone wanted to start testing Hadoop. But if you go back to the history of Hadoop, Yeah. You know that actually is a very old technology. You know,
yeah, I mean,
so if I am a manager as well in a company, I don't want my people to be learning about that almost 20 years technology. So
okay.
I think that we need to think about what is the kind of things that we need to be learning and what are the kind of things that actually we are behind, you know, and we really need just to follow up very, very fast.
And here we are back again on the make it or buy it decision. Or
exactly.
I mean, when I make something, I need to learn it and then I keep that capability within my company, or I just buy it as a resource on top, you know, and that mm-hmm. Hadoop example, maybe a Hadoop consultant or something would be better than gathering the whole knowledge for the company itself. When I think about the process that I just outlined of the data science process, you know, problem understanding, data gathering, building a model, deploy it, manage it. What would be, or maybe there is no just straight answer, which kind of capabilities here would you make and which would you buy in the process?
I would say I wouldn't focus pretty much more within a process to buy something or to make it by myself.
Okay.
I would say that it would depend the business case and the urgency. So
okay.
Either I buy everything, you know, for a specific business case because mm-hmm. that's going to break my business results and my business value, or we define a data strategy and we start building by ourselves. So we build business outcome and we create capability. So mm-hmm. I believe that those are kind of like the directions where my decision would come. So it's like we decide to do by ourselves. So then we need as well help from outside. That's of course clear. And or if we buy it, for example, if we just come back to, I don't know, a specific use case, we can go back to this retailer. So let's say, example, this this tool that is going to be ordered automatically. So if I decide to do it, then I will buy everything. So I think that we need to talk about more about like the product, more specifically.
Okay.
Than
yeah,
the process.
I mean, my holistic answer always on that kind of question is, or one of my assumptions that I always try to promote on that is, hey, building a model and the deployment stage should stay with the company.
Mm.
Everything else around it, like data gathering, the problem understanding, you can get a consultant, the data gathering, get a data warehouse provider or something, you know, managing, outsource it if possible. I mean, with that more maintenance and stuff like that. So the really value added from my perspective comes from building a model, you know, that will be your competitive advantage. You know, let's say you are a e-scooter provider, you know, everybody has the same data. Everybody has a million trips on e-scooters. Everybody is in Berlin. You know, we have 7 different e-scooters here. So if you want to be cost efficient and they have a big cost pressure, right? They need to be efficient. They need to be utilized and so on. Then probably your competitive advantage will stay with you, or you can create it by building a superior model or being able to deploy it in a superior way, you know?
I would say you're right. At the end of the day, you're going to get value from the model, but you need to, but don't forget that you are just going to get the value if you can integrate this data product into your business process. So,
and
you're right. So you can decide, okay, I want people to help me just in the data gathering, or so you can actually do that in that way. So it's part of just your strategy. But in that case, you have still made a decision that you want to do it by yourself.
So you are still getting
the model, so you're getting help. And probably if you're buying data or something like that, you're still building the product and the product is going to be your product. Mm-hmm. So every time you're going to change it, you're going to be responsible how it's going to be done. But if you, for example, we're talking about this solution, if you buy it, you're not going to be able to do anything of that. So you probably need to call the support of the company and say, okay, you know, I need some extension and probably you need to pay more.
Okay, definitely. Okay, let's say I'm a video streaming platform, and I want a recommendation engine. What would you consult me? Should I build it myself, or should I get? There's probably some SaaS option out there for that, or.
It depends. If that's your first data science project, or if you already have done some data science project, if within your digital strategy is to have an entity where you are going to be creating more data science, software engineering capability and knowledge, if you want to go to that direction, if that's the strategy of the company, I would decide probably to do it ourselves. So probably if you already, you can do it yourself. If you already have people, so you can start doing things. But if you are very new, you can still start. It depends as well where is the value. Sometimes we see as well a lot that the business just needs something, you know, for yesterday. And there is a very big urgency because you say, okay, this streaming platform needs a recommendation because this probably is already generating us lost sales from, I don't know, of so many million euros, and we're very sure about it. So probably if that's the urgency, we're probably going to buy it. But still, we're not going to try to, we want to try to have a digital strategy. So I think that the first step, if you are asking me this question, is I would say, show me your digital strategy. So which kind of knowledge you want to build? And we're going to go start the conversation as well. Team building, which kind of skills do you need or do you have, and what makes sense, or what would be actually more expensive for you. And as well, as I said, when we build these kind of data products, the most important thing for us, as I told you, is not only building the product itself. So we want to make sure that there is a vision out of it. Yeah. So as I said, we build kind of like the product solving a business problem, but we enable as well, we create capability, and we want to make sure that that the capability actually is going to be used as well in further products and projects, and that's very important.
Yeah definitely. Okay, I see we are getting kicked out of our beautiful room here, it seems. At least like that. Let's wrap it all up. So what you just said is you want to balance time pressure and the value added in the end.
Exactly. I would say that's the important thing. And if you have a middle term or long term strategy, so just try to balance that. And as I said, there's nothing wrong about buying. It's everything okay. And as well, it's very good if you want to do things by yourself, but you need to know how you build it. And as I said, build a product, but as well, make sure that you create capability. And so that every time you build more products, you're not going to be building everything from the beginning. So that's part of the strategy, data strategy, data sharing, governance, security, and all that kind of stuff. So that's what you need to make sure, because otherwise you will have like six projects in parallel, and all these six projects, will we have the governance problem, will we have the security problem, we'll have as well the automation problem, and they will be creating solutions, and then you will be spending more money than you are actually expecting or wanted to do.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
It was very cool.
Nice. Okay. Peace out.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. I would be so happy if you just follow my channel.